I always sense a certain unease during the time I do this routine. It's always a little, I always feel a little, hang on, Ben, where are you fucking going with this then, you know? And I sense it, but you see, this isn't about Diana, this is about us. It's about us. And also about the monarchy, which incidentally, I surprise a lot of people, but having said all that about the conspiracy, I remain a monarchist. Yeah, I do. In a strict constitutional sense, I'm a monarchist. Because you've got to have a head of state, right? You have, it's a rule. And I'd keep the Queen. I would. I'd keep the Queen. I mean, I know the monarchy is an absurd anachronism. There's no fucking argument for inherited privilege possible. But would you get rid of her? I don't know. She's self-evidently a decent, hard-working woman. I mean, fine, let's keep her. Just before you join the monarchy, before you become a Republican, think about this. If you had to go out clubbing with all the world's heads of state, right? You're out there giving it all that crazy frog and you're all out with all the heads of state and you need a piss, who would you trust with your keys, your money and your handbag? Bush, I don't think so. Mr. Putin, hardly. One of them French shag rats, do fuck off. No! It'd be the Queen, wouldn't it? She'd be under a pile of coats, wouldn't she? Everyone would be sat. Can you look after that, your madge? We'd be on the floor, Agadoo, crazy frog. She'd be there. She couldn't even have a drink. She'd be driving us all home. I'm Captain, don't worry, I'll see you home. Besides which, the Queen, apart from being self-evidently a decent, hard-working, moral woman, besides that, she also represents us. She does. You can't. And there is no head of state on earth that represents the country they represent better than our Queen does. Her family are a British family, a bog standard British family. Consider it. She's a sad little old lady living in state-sponsored accommodation. Her husband's a mad old bigot who wishes it was still World War II. 3 out of 4 of her children's marriages have failed. The eldest lad's a disillusioned ex-hippie. The middle one's a complete yobbo. The third one probably takes it from behind. That's a British family, bog standard in all its glory. If only she had a black one and a disabled one, she'd have the full deck. A few months ago when I was doing this gig, it was in the middle of Celebrity Big Brother. I don't even remember, but Chantel, briefly, for about a week, was the most famous person in Britain. You've probably already fucking forgotten about her, but she was, for about a week. Oh, I just love her, because she's thick, and she really loves being thick. I really love that about her. She really likes being thick. I think that's great. And Chantel, and at the time, I used to do a little improvisation riff. I'd say, you get rid of the Queen, who would we have as head of state? And I used to say, this week, it would probably be Chantel. You know, a bit of satire. And somebody shouted out one night, what about Bob Geldof? Well, where do you start? Now, look, it's the anniversary of Live 8, so good time to talk about Bob. He's not a bad bloke. I've got a lot of respect for him, but people seem to feel that he can do their believing for him. It's like he's a new religion. He even looks like Jesus. People think as long as they're following him, they don't have to do anything themselves.
I'm basically a Bobchan. Yes, I follow Bobtianity. If I put my faith in Bob, then all else will follow.
Because, look, I'm sorry, but I was very uncomfortable about the whole Live 8 thing. I found it very kind of weird, that Live 8 a year ago. I mean, not the Make Poverty History campaign. That's a great campaign. That's fantastic. Which, incidentally, is still going on. Yeah, you can still get involved with that. Yeah, that's still going. As is the poverty that we were all going to make history. Yeah, that's going. And that's a surprise, isn't it? Because we thought we dealt with that when we saw Coldplay play Wembley, didn't we? Yeah. Or I'd park wherever it was. No! Live 8 was the weirdest day. What a strange, it was like an Alice in Wonderland magic day, wasn't it? Like a stardust day when everything went crazy and magic filled the land. We all woke up and everyone was talking about it. All the newspapers, the radios, everyone was saying, today's the day, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. What are we going to do? We're going to make poverty history. Fantastic, how are we going to do it? We're going to watch a free concert in Hyde Park. Brilliant. Anything else? No! I can't think why no one thought of it before. Honestly, we were all sucked in. Look, none of us can put our hand and say we're better, but seriously, we'd have made more contribution to making poverty history if we boycotted Nestle products for a fucking week. But none of us did it. We were all watching the gig, weren't we? Watching old Bob, dear old Bob, who incidentally can't be head of state because he's Irish, right? So that's out. He can't be our head of state even if we wanted him. But actually, I think the Irish thing is quite interesting. Because I think therein lies the secret of his messianic power. Because like he is, he's like a messiah. I mean, he is like a saint on stage. It's a fantastic. He's a genuinely impressive speaker. And he draws the eyes, got this incredible moral authority. It's the accent. It's all about the accent. That Irish accent, the voice of the rebel, the voice of the poet through the generations. Touches all sorts of guilt buttons here in England. Yes, the voice of the Irish poet, the rebel. Did you see him at Live 8? He was fantastic, brilliant speech. He said, fuck all, but it sounded brilliant. He was up on stage, said, this beautiful woman is here because of the efforts you made 20 years ago. She was dying of hunger, but because of you, she's studying agriculture. This beautiful woman, they said, you couldn't do it. You can fucking do it. Never let them tell you you can't do it. If he'd come from Dorset, we'd have pissed ourselves. Can you imagine him up on stage? Now then, everyone, I want you to meet this lovely young lady here, all right? She's a super little girl. She really is a marvellous young lady. Let me tell you something. 20 years ago, she was starving, all right? She was starving, but because you lot put your hands in your pockets, now she's studying farming. Isn't that marvellous? From starving to farming, it's marvellous. It's true. It's an accident of birth. That accent, that Irish thing, it just works. It's like you two. I mean, come on. You two, yes, they're a great band, but they're not the greatest band in the world, which they are regularly described. And Bono's not a saint. He wouldn't pretend it. He's far too good a bloke for that, but we treat him like a saint because he sounds like a saint.
Now then, President Bush, my name's Bono. This is The Edge. We're coming to the White House to discuss poverty with you.
Imagine if he'd come away from round here, eh? Now then, Mr. Bush, my name's Bono. This is fucking Tedge, all right? Go on, Tedge, tell him what you fucking think. Now, my name's Tedge, sort your fucking self out, all right? We've been in fucking pub discussing fucking poverty and we've want fucking something done, all right? Come on, Bono, all right, Tedge, let's go.
You could not be called the anything if you came from around here.
I mean, it is lucky, the Edge, it's lucky he's a rock star from Dublin, isn't it? Imagine if he was a shelf packer in Woolworths from Milton Keynes. Hello, madam, my name's The Edge. Can I help you at all? The Edge wouldn't work, would it? No. But we would. We would. We'd get our estate off reality TV. I reckon that's how we'd do it. I mean, that's the point. I honestly don't think we can trust ourselves anymore to change anything. I mean, obviously things need change, but what the fuck are we going to do? We'd probably choose a head of state. We'd put them in a jungle and choose the one we liked most or hated most. You know, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Now, there's a good example of language as garnish, because that means fuck all that sentence. I'm a celebrity. Or I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. Or as it should be said, you are not and have never remotely been a celebrity. That's why you're on this program, you sad fuck. I mean, come on. Ant and Dec, get a grip. We take them from their champagne lifestyles. We take them from their champagne lifestyles and we put them in the jungle. Come on, ex-weather girls do not have fucking champagne lifestyles. You know that very well. I got sick of that show. I mean, I loved it because we all love Ant and Dec, don't we? But I'll tell you what I hate. The Bush Tucker trials. I don't know if you've seen it. Those boring bits when they kind of torture a celebrity. Particularly because what about all these creatures of the jungle that are being forced into these horrendous celebrity orifices? I thought we were supposed to care about living creatures. We're the generation got rid of Fox Hunter. What about all the poor old slugs that were shoved up Anthony World Thompson's arsehole on I'm a Celeb? What about the poor old snakes that had to slither through Jordan's gusset? I can't think of a fucking worse fate than that. I thought we cared, because we do, don't we? We care about animals. We're the generation that got rid of Fox Hunter. We're not having that. We're not having them toffs chasing foxes. We're not fucking having it, because we care. We care about animals. When we go and see a film at the cinema, I'll tell you what, we love it, don't we? Because at the end of the movie, it always says, no animals were harmed during the making of this film. We love that, don't we? That makes you feel good, makes me feel, we love it. So I'm glad about that. Soon that, I'm glad there. I was worrying about that. I was really, but luckily no animals were harmed during the making of the movie. I'm glad, because I wouldn't want my leisure pound to contribute to the harming of animals. No, I'm glad about that. Do you fancy a Kentucky? Come on, let's go and have a Kentucky. I'm glad they never harmed any animals. Can I have a 57-piece bucket, please, yeah? Can you make sure you don't harm the chickens when you rear them in conditions of intolerable cruelty, mash them to bits, deep fucking fry them? We are going mad. Look at Jordan. This is a woman who has systematically brutalised her own body to create a grotesque cartoon stereotype of anything that a woman might remotely have looked like. And we are seeing this as somehow commendable, almost a good thing, a role model for young kids. She's on the red carpet. 50 years ago, she'd have been in a fucking circus. She'd have been a freak. Come and see the balloon-boobed woman. Come and see Madam Space Hoppers. It would have been a fucking freak show. Now, everyone's saying, oh, Jordan's a great role model for young... What's it about women? I mean, scientists are now, cosmetic surgeons, are now growing breast tissue. Because implants get rejected, they moved on and they can grow breasts in a laboratory. Aren't we wonderful as a race? We're going to make poverty history. We start by growing a crop of tits. What a great idea. Seems to me, if as proved by Jordan, you don't need to look remotely like a real woman used to look, and they're growing tits... Why stop with two? Why not have a few more? She could have a stack of them, couldn't she? A great rack of them, one on her head, one on each shoulder. She'd be like a big tit hedgehog wobbling about. She could have one on her arm for premieres. Or she could marry Peter Andre. Seriously, what is... What are we doing? These lips look a bit of cosmetic, all right. I'm sure plenty of you blokes and women have had a bit done, but it's getting out of hand. These lips, they're ridiculous, like two babies' arms, for God's sake. Some of these women, they could unblock a toilet, fucking hell. You got a big turd wedged in a U-band, get Melanie Griffiths round. She'll fucking suck it out, no problem.